Good morning.
Our Bible reading this morning is taken from the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 14 to 22. Revelation, chapter 3, verse 14 to 22. It reads, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, Be still, said the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy work, that thou art neither gold nor hot. I would thou wert gold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither gold nor hot, I will pour thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and right raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous there before and repent. Behold, I stand at the port, at the door, and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him and will talk with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame. And I am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches." May God bless this reading in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So good to have our visitors here. We'll get an opportunity in our notices so you can tell us a bit about your congregation and what you're doing. Emmanuel and family, we welcome you. It's wonderful to see you. We've been excited and we knew that this day would come. So we thank God that you're here today and we give you praise. We have a tradition here. We give our gift. We give our visitors Bibles. The Bibles are added to them. So next week, God willing, we'll do that. We'll make sure that our visitors get that here from the congregation. It's really, really, really good to be here. I just want to ask one thing just before I start the lesson. I've got a card here for Sister Sabina. She's not been here for a few weeks, going through some few struggles at the moment. What I want is I want the whole congregation or a representative of the family just to put your name on here. We want to go and take it, let her know that this is a congregation that loves her dearly, because we do. She's a part of this body, part of this family. We're trying to encourage her and help her in that way, and I know this will mean a lot to her at this time. She's going to be okay, we know that. But let me encourage you. I'm going to leave this at the back, please. I want to tell her that this is a card from the congregation, so I need your names on it. In order for me, you know, if I've only got a few names on it, it wouldn't have the same impact. So let's do that, and let's just keep her in prayer, because she's a member of this body and a sister who is just going through things at the moment. So let's pull together and do what we're good at as a family and make a difference. The lesson that I'm looking at today, actually I've been toying with a couple of topics that came through, and Brother Luke was due to speak today. He was unable at this time, and so he's going to do another appointment, another date, and so we exchange, which is what we can do. And so what I wanted to do, I've got a few things that this kind of lesson I've touched on in the past. I think it was back in January of this year, and I kind of wanted to touch on the topic again. Because I think there's a need for it. And so I've been prayerfully, and let me tell you, when I am looking at lessons and things that I'm going to present, there's a lot of prayer that goes into that. Because I don't want to speak for the sake of speaking, and I don't want to be the man of wisdom. I want God to speak through me, through His Word, so that we can help as a congregation to grow and help as a congregation to be stronger. Because this life is difficult. And there's no mistaking it. This life is difficult. And this Christian journey is tough. And we will all face obstacles and struggles. And over the last few weeks, we've kind of looked at a theme along those lines. We used Revelation 3 and from verse 15. It says, I know your deeds. Revelation 3, verse 15. I know your deeds. Then you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You know, these words Jesus gave, and this is both a frightening threat and an appeal. And though it was originally directed to the group of believers, the principle behind it applies to us today in every sense of the word. It applies to every Christian. Do you understand the consequences of being lukewarm? And we can become lukewarm. I've had times in my life where I've been lukewarm. I've not been hot and I've not been cold. I've just been in the middle. In other words, it's this balance between one side and the other. My Christian faith, my worldly life. And it's trying to get the balance between the two. In other words, you know, this morning we were talking about the seeds. And I know next week, God willing, Brother Gary will take us through the parable of the sower. You see, brethren, we have to examine ourselves and see for ourselves whether we are where we should be. What is the temperature of you? I've used an example before. Everybody in my house knows. If I have a hot meal, it has to be hot. It has to be hot. I can't have a hot meal that's lukewarm. It goes in the microwave, and then my wife said, "Why are you putting that in? You're ruining it, you know." I like my food to be hot when it's hot. If it's cold, be cold. But if it's in between, oh, I have a problem with that. And so, in our Christian life, we need to understand the consequences that we can be lukewarm. What is a lukewarm Christian? Ask yourself that. Moderately warm or tepid. You know, lacking conviction or half-hearted. You know, your balance is wrong. You know, what I love about our Bible class on the Sunday morning as we're going through the Gospel of Matthew led by our brother Gary, is it touches on a lot of these key important topics. Being half-hearted. I'm not fully committed. My whole heart is not there. I'm tied between what the world wants and what I want. My mindset is not where it should be. When our faith can be described this way, it means a kind of distraction is set into your heart. What is distracting your life? What is distracting your life? Do you know these distractions in your life will take away your salvation? You will lose your salvation if you allow yourself to be distracted, because the devil is the master of distraction. That's what he does. That's his technique. He has the ability and skill to turn your life around. He will use your marriage. I promise you he will. He will use your children as they're growing up and they're going through things. And he'll do everything. If you're strong, then he will go through your children. Because if they're not as strong as you, they'll be an easy target for him. And then he can use them against you. I want you to understand the importance of understanding that if we are not right in our temperature, in the way that we live our Christian life, then our faith can be described this way. It's a distraction. We have forgotten about the things of God. the Israelite people, experienced firsthand. They saw the sea part. They saw the freedom and liberty from captivity. They saw God provide them food. They saw God perform the miracles for them. And still it says they forgot him. Still it says that they had become lukewarm in their stability and status with God. And we in our Christian lives can do the same. Do not be deceived. If you think coming here on a Sunday morning is sufficient, you are wrong. It will not allow you to stay strong in the faith. And the devil knows it. He will keep you away from the classes. He will avoid you from your prayer. He will distract you from your reading time. He will put obstacles in your way. When you are trying to live your life as a Christian, the devil will make obstructions in the way to stop you. Why? Because he wants to cool your temperature. He wants you to become weak. He wants you to become lukewarm. And if we allow him, he will do it. We have forgotten about the things of God when we allow things to happen. You see, God must come first in your life. He has to come first. He has to be the priority. And when the devil is attacking us through our families and through our relationships and through whatever tool that he has at his disposal, he will use them. And he will pull you away from the body of Christ. You will become lukewarm, you will lose your faith, you will lose your salvation. And that, brethren, is a problem and something that I pray daily for this congregation. Listen, there is nothing that comes of more priority than the salvation of each and every member of this congregation. I would rather worship in a field without a roof over our heads than think that any person in this room will lose their salvation because the devil got in and made their temperatures change. Made things change. I remember not so long back I was working on a vehicle, one of my cars. I was working on the car, repairing it. And Janet brought out a hot cup of coffee. And she put it at the side of me, and I was so busy with what I was doing, and this coffee was getting colder and colder and colder. I finally remembered it was there, and I picked it up, and it was freezing cold. That is how easy you can be affected. That is how easy it can be. It doesn't take a lot. A little distraction. I forgot it was there, and that hot coffee had suddenly become icy cold. Icy cold. That's how quick your life can change. Our prayer time can feel stale and routine in your life. Get your prayer time in order. If you haven't got time to pray to God, then listen, what else have you got time for? God first. You pray every day. You ask for him to give you strength. You ask for him to give you wisdom. You ask him to guide your life. Let him be the start of your day. Let him be through your day and the end of your day. We're trying to sort our lives out, brethren, without God. We lose our passion for obeying God's laws, you know, when we become lukewarm. Because we're preoccupied. Our minds are taken elsewhere. We're thinking, okay, God, I've got time for you, but right now I'm busy. I'm doing this, or I'm doing these other things. Being lukewarm in our faith is a red flag signal. It's a red flag signal. You pick a drink up that's hot, what do? You test it. See how hot it is before you start pouring it on your lips and burning yourself. But at the same time, you want to test it to see where it is. Do we do that with our life? You see, being lukewarm, that red flag signal, tells us that our hearts are not where they should be. Our hearts are not where they should be. If you've got things going through your mind that are distant from God, these things will stand in your way and prevent your salvation. You won't make heaven. That's scary. In fact, God makes a strong statement about those who go down this path in the Old Testament book of Isaiah. In Isaiah 29 and verse 13, the Lord says, "These people come near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on human or merely human rules that they have been taught. In other words, tradition. I grew up as a young man, a young boy, being brought to church every Lord's Day with my family. I was fortunate in that respect. But it was just a routine to me. I had to get up Sunday morning, be ready, put my suit on. My father made us walk to church on the Lord's Day. He wouldn't let us drive. He made us walk. And so we walked to church. He wanted everybody to see where we were going. We had the Bibles under our arms and we were walking along. We got the suits on and the ties on. And we headed off to church every day. But it became a routine. And so for a time in my life, I was just doing the routine. When I got a bit older, I carried on with the routine. We've got to do it because that's what we've always done. No, that is wrong. We do this because when we give our lives to Christ, we talked about this in our study today, when we give our lives to Christ, we give Him everything. We deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow Him. That sacrificial walk. And yet there are people who, it says, they come near to Him with their mouths and honour Him with their lips. They sing the songs. Do you remember the songs we sang this morning? Do you remember the words that we looked at this morning? You know, do you remember the things that we have done this morning so far? They worship me and honour me with their mouth and with their lips. You see, what we need, brethren, is our hearts to be right with God. Our hearts need to be right with Him. And in Revelation 3:15, the passage, this means, or this passage is an attempt by Jesus to get the attention of the, in this situation, in the context, it was to the Laodicean church, or to the congregation. And He made several points about having a lukewarm faith. In other words, He was saying your hearts are not where they should be. And so, brethren, we need to look at that. You know, we need to understand the impact that we can have for God's family. Do you know that? We can have an impact. Listen, if I'm lukewarm, I will affect this congregation in some way or another. And if you are lukewarm, you will affect the congregation. Because we won't get the full potential. We won't get the joy. We won't get the blessing of knowing and having you in that stable relationship. In other words, each and every one of us needs to be hot and at the right temperature. You know, we can affect each other in the way that we are living, in the choices that we make, in the decisions that we make, in our attitude, in our mindset. And so what we have to do is we have to get ourselves back to where we should be. We have to get ourselves right. People of Jesus' day understood the lukewarm water, you know, was not a pure thing. And I want you to look at the context of when this was written. You imagine, they never turned a tap on like we do to get their water. It would come from a well, or it would come from a lake or a river or somewhere like that. And so what they had to do was what? They had to heat the water up in order to purify it and in order to make it right. If it was stagnant, it was less healthy and not useful. In other words, it had to be right. So Jesus was saying, again, it was almost like a parable. He was explaining to them that those who set up a less than full devotion to God will end up listless and even idle. And we will not be effective to the church. We will not be effective to the kingdom. You know, brethren, you are in places that I am not. I'm in places that you are not. You are the light in your workplace. You are the light in your neighbourhood. You are the light in your community. The people you meet in the day are people that I may never, ever see or meet in my entire life. But these are the people that you will see. And so what we have to do is we have to have this devotion to Christian living. We have to have this heart that is right with God, because we want to make an effect upon the world that we live in, and that is only possible if we allow ourselves to be right with him. In other words, listen, when we receive these teachings, they have to come into here, not just in here. You know, they go into our ears, but they need to get in this heart. We need to feel it. We need to know what agape love is. You want to know what agape love is? We took the communion this morning. Unconditional love. He laid his life down for me and you. What a love that our Saviour had. Now I want you to picture the world that we live in. Look at all the cruelty. Look at all the battles. Look at all the conflicts. Look at all the dictators. Look at all the hatred. Look at all the drunkards, the gamblers, the immoral living. All the people in the world. Do you know that Christ died for every single one of them? Every one of them. That is unconditional love. You imagine creating a world that turns into such a despicable, sinful world. And Jesus comes down and dies for each and every one of them. In the hope that they hear his message of salvation and take the gift that he has given so that they too can break bread around the table. You see, the problem is, brethren, what we want to do is we want to rule our own lives. We don't want the church, we don't want God to manage our life. We give him so much and we allow him so much, but we're not fully committed. You know, if we are devoted to the Lord, we become aligned with him. Jesus claimed that tepid faith leaves us halfway seeking God and halfway trying to hold on to the control of our own lives. That is the problem. The problem is that we want to hang on to God, but we still want to control our own way as well. And we end up with a compromised form of Christianity, and it's called lukewarm. It won't get you to where you need to be. It will not do it, and you will not achieve it. Lukewarm faith is deceiving. When believers are losing enthusiasm, they consider themselves to be more God-centered than they really are. In other words, they deceive themselves quite often. Quite often. I heard a wonderful sermon many years ago, a preacher. He was an elderly man. And one of the things he said to me was, when he hears a preacher, he likes to know the preacher. In other words, he says, what I want to know is, does that preacher really live the way he preaches? Is the things that that preacher is preaching, is that his lifestyle? Is that, if I don't know him, I don't know. He could live in all ways. And as Brother Gary rightly said this morning, many preachers have left the body. I too have seen it. See, preachers leaving the body for sin. Why? Because these men were not faithful. These men were not right with God. These men were lukewarm. But what they did, they stood up before the assembly and preach sermons that made them almost look like something that they were not. Those around them can be fooled as well. And we live in a world that like that, and this is dangerous. You know, our flame goes out, brethren, and others around us, their flames go out. Your children, your wife, your church members, do you know that if you are not right with God, your children will be affected because of that? If you are not right with God, your children will be affected. You have to be right with him. You know, Jesus also stated the consequences for believers who are or become lukewarm. And he says, be ready. Your lukewarm faith is going to cost you your salvation. Matthew 7:21. Write this down. Memorize it, put it in your a prominent place in your house to remind you that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Listen, brethren, we have to do the will of our Father in order to be right. We have to do his will. The actions of Christian worship is not sufficient. We have to live the life, and we have to have a heart that is fully tuned in with God. Because many will say on the last day to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons? And in your name perform many miracles. Did we not do all of that? He would say, I'll tell you plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, what does he call them? Evildoers. Evildoers. Going through the routines. But their hearts were not there. And so therefore, brethren, let me encourage you. Let me encourage you. You know, John wrote the book of Revelation, which documents a vision given to him while in exile late in his life. So it was later in his life, during exile, he gets this vision. And in chapter 1, after John falls into a trance-like sleep state, he first sees Jesus. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And he says, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands were seven that were someone like a son of man. And of course, that message came to him in that way. And in that vision, Jesus goes on to explain that each of the seven lampstands represented seven churches, a specific church. And the Lord instructed John to write down everything that he sees and hears, and so John captures the message for every church, and he writes it in the inspired word of God, that holy inspired word of God. And chapter 2 and 3 of Revelation represents all the seven views, and the last one was to the Laodicean church. And in Revelation 3, Jesus was giving a directive to the church at Laodicea, and his word to them was specific and clear as it is to us today. You know, the Laodicean people, or the church, was prosperous. The city was very prosperous. They were wealthy. They had everything. You know, they had everything they needed. It was a thriving place with banking and wool and medicinal products and industry and everything that they needed. All these things were in this city. The material, the wealth was all around them. Does it ring a bell? You know, we're blessed, are we not? We are blessed in so many ways. But many in its congregation have let this dull their spirits. And so the point is this. That if our focus is not on God, we will have our spirits dulled. Because they became indifferent to the call of God. Why? Because their mindset and hearts were elsewhere. God had put on their lives this understanding through this vision that they needed to change. Because they were neglecting him and prioritising themselves. That is lukewarm. And scripture tells us that Christians have a part in helping the kingdom of God even now. We have responsibilities. And we need to make a difference. So brethren, today we are to be set apart from the rest of the culture. From the rest of the world around us. And when the world sees us, they should see Jesus Christ. They should see Jesus in you. I always remember once a preacher said, has anybody seen Jesus? Put your hands up. And no one put the hands up. And he put his hand up. And we thought, well, this is odd. And he says, but I see Jesus in the lives of the Christians. You see, when Jesus was on this earth, he did his ministry. But when he died, he passed that ministry on. He says, you're going to finish my work now. You're going to carry it on. You Christians, that's your responsibility. That's our responsibility. And so in order for us to do that, we need to make sure that we are not lukewarm. Brethren, let me encourage you. Stay strong. Stay faithful. The devil is busy in this congregation. He's busy. And he's affecting people. He's affecting people. Whether it be through health, or whether it be through relationships, or whether it be through whatever. The devil is working upon each and every person in this room to weaken you and take away your salvation. And it's my prayer that you stay strong and that you remain faithful. And remember that we have a God who loves us beyond measure. And that is a God who we can depend upon. And if we stay strong in the faith, if we stay strong in the word, if we keep our relationship with him in prayer, he will do everything to enable us to hold back the sin that is so desperately trying to get in to take you away from your salvation. I pray that God will bless you. Let's have an invitation from Brother Mark.